Hello, Bearers. Bearabella here. The Honeycast is excited to present the recording of Bearapalooza 2024. We'll be releasing each panel as a separate episode over the coming week. This episode features a panel discussing Bearer Roll-Ups with Rushi from Movement Labs, Scott from Argus Labs, and Brandon from Shogun, moderated by Larry the Cucumber. Enjoy!
Everyone for coming. This panel is going to be a discussion on bearer chain scaling. Myself, I'm Larry the Cucumber, developer relations engineer at BearChain. Can we get some intros here, please?
Cool. Yeah. My name is Scott. I'm founder and CEO of Argus. We are a crypto game developer that is also building a novel sharded roll-up architecture to be able to scale on-chain games to tens and thousands of hundreds of thousands of players. I'm happy to be here and like talk about rollups.
I'm Rushi, co-founder of Movement Labs. We're bringing the Move VM to Ethereum, and also bringing the Move VM to BearChain via Bear Rollups, or whatever the hell Spunky wants to call it.
And hey guys, my name is Brandon Comer. I'm the co-founder of Shogun, and we are working to bring all of the off-chain processes through solvers to BearChain. So complete chain abstraction, no wallets, no gas, no nothing. You don't even need to know what chain you're on. All of it flows through BearChain.
All right, thank you guys. So no softball questions. We're going to start off hard. Scaling is a really competitive space. So honestly, what do you think of BearChain's competition? Let's start with you, Brandon. That's what he thinks of scaling competition.
This is not BearChain, not BetaChain. We're not afraid of the competition at all. Like BearChain is the best place to have a rollup. You talk about proof of liquidity, you talk about cheap transactions, talk about speed. BearChain is the only thing that exists in terms of being a proper settlement layer.
You heard it first. This ain't BetaChain.
Yeah, I think like for me, right, is like, I think we're at the age where being able to scale blockchains are no longer like rocket science or dark magic. And like what it comes down to, like if you're creating a new rollup or scaling solution, the first thing that you'll ask is like, how do I bring users? How do I bring liquidity to our like, you know, our scaling solutions, right? Because there's a lot of L1s, L2s out there just like, oh, like our rollup is the fastest rollup out there. But if like your rollup doesn't have any users, it doesn't matter how fast your rollup is because the transaction is going to be zero. And so I think like, yeah, I think cool thing about BearChain is just like, oh, like you have these like native, like, you know, group of users that are just like willing to try every shit that you kind of like, you know, put out there. And I think that is like something that like, you know, these like rollup developers or application developers that wants to like, you know, deploy on any chain will kind of like try to index on. And that's like what like you'll kind of like see from BearChain.
I think what's unique about BearChain is like usually for any layer one, layer two, you build a tech first, launch a product, and you get community. And BearChain is the community before the product's even live and before it's even like working. So my bull case and why I think BearChain is going to win is because they already have the community. This is the community. Like this is one of the biggest events at ETH Denver, and the mempool doesn't even work right now. So imagine like when we can actually scale. I think that BearChain is undefeated. They have the community, they have the liquidity, and now we're about to win and crush.
Thank you. Excellent answers. And you guys touched on this a bit in your intros, but can you tell us about the rollups you're building a little bit more technically about the stack?
Yeah, I can start. So the Shogun L2 is a little bit unique in terms of what a rollup actually is. And so what we're doing is we're basically doing an L2 as a solver. So a decentralized solver network that basically solves all of not just BearChain, but the interchain as a whole. So you can have solvers that are working on Ethereum, bringing an account abstraction to that. You can also bring account abstraction to any chain. And so by bringing parallel processing to the solver process and making it a collaborative process rather than competition, we basically enable a large solver network that can be completely decentralized. And so think about like the Chimerical chain or anything like that, like the Anoma model or say the Particle Network model. It's like that, but taken as an L2 and settling to BearChain and also ultimately solving on any chain overall.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go after. I think we are supporting a framework. So we have a few Bear gaming products we're working with that, quite frankly, if they launch on BearChain directly, they'll probably break the chain. So we're looking to do like a move roll up on top of BearChain for those games where they can have their own customized app environments and not break the mempool again. So in this world where BearChain becomes the biggest chain, they need to have scaling because it's going to top at like 10, 15 TPS. So that's why parallel execution is really important for these next-gen games and next-gen consumer apps. So we're excited to support BearChain, support the team there.
Cool. Yeah. So like, yeah. So like for us, like the way that we're different with like most like scaling companies is that we have a specific focus in like a specific vertical. While like people generally try to build, oh, like a scaling solution that can support DeFi, gaming, and all of those like basically like wheelhouse, like we specifically make a mandate for ourselves that, hey, we're going to be focusing on scaling on-chain games. And so like, while a lot of like other kind of like chains are, oh, like, yeah, you can mint NFTs on our like VM or our chain or whatsoever. What we do is like we're able to push that to like a much further extent where you can do the entire game state fully on chain. And as a result, you have full state composability and you get the kind of like, you know, the powers of interoperability for the games. And this is like why we're building our sharded rollup architecture that allows us to horizontally scale compute such that if you have like, you know, more users and you're going to have like more players that want to try your game, you'll never reach a point where your rollup is not going to be able to handle this increase of users that you're going through. And this is like kind of the entire sharded rollup architecture that we came up with, which kind of like we proposed in the EBA Research Day last year. And we just today launch and people can now build fully on-chain games with the World Engine rollup on Barachain, on Celestia, and like all those kind of cool, you know, DA chains and settlement layers.
Maybe we want to touch a little bit on Polaris, Scott. I know you guys leverage Polaris. You guys were probably the biggest use case of it.
Yeah.
How is it different than any other EVM? And like, what got you excited for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Dude, I think he's stealing your job.
That's all good.
So like, yeah, so we're building also using Polaris EVM. So first, for those of you who might not know about Polaris, Polaris is the EVM SDK that was created by Barachain to be able to use EVM on a Cosmos SDK stack. So we're kind of like the primary user of Polaris for rollups. And one of the biggest benefits of Polaris is that you're able to customize your EVM execution layer easily by adding custom precompiles. So in contrast to a lot of the existing kind of, let's say, EVM clients or EVM, like, you know, like kind of like, you know, runtimes like Get, Aragon, Red and whatsoever that are pretty rigid, it's very hard to customize them. Polaris was really designed to be customized and kind of be basically kind of like equip them with custom features that allows you to stand out from the rest of the EVM chains. And this is like what Barachain also uses to implement things like proof of liquidity. And this is like what we use to implement the custom sharding architecture that we are using for the World Engine.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's exciting. Polaris certainly embraces the modularity ethos. And, you know, as Rishi said, it's important to not break the chain. And so, you know, on that topic, why build, you know, on top of the chain rather than an app on the chain, you know, with World Engine or, you know, cross-chain things might be harder, but,
yeah,
you know, was that ever a consideration?
Yeah, I think like for us is that what we quickly realized is that most blockchains are not designed to run kind of like basically games, right? Games are very different with your traditional web app or like kind of your traditional DeFi app. So the way that a game is developed, the way that you program a game server is like, you know, requires a different paradigm that is not really compatible with, let's say, a generic EVM rollup or any generic smart contract blockchain. And that's like specifically why we have to build our own runtime that is like specifically tailor-made to support gaming use cases. And like a lot of the architecture that we use for World Engine is inspired by some of the largest like game server architecture out there that powers World of Warcraft and like these like large scale MMO games. And like, yeah, so it really kind of comes down to for us is like the specific applications that we want to build and like, you know, those specific applications requiring a very specific set of architectural choices that most blockchains are not able to support.
Sure. Thank you. Brennan?
Sorry, you know, this bear mask is hard to hear in. What, can you repeat the question?
Oh, why build a rollup on top of Barachain rather than an app?
Gotcha. So for us, it's a little bit difficult to build directly on top of Barachain just because we have a wider scope. So what we're trying to enable is basically a completely chain abstracted trading experience between not just Barachain, but the entire interchain as a whole. So going from mainly like the Ethereum ecosystems and the developed ecosystems like EVM, L2s and Solana, moving into the modular focused ecosystems. And so you've seen a lot of rotation, especially like from Sol to TIA in the last 3 months. And all of those processes have been pretty terrible. I mean, you have to bridge, you have to worry about gas tokens, you have to worry about all of this individual routing solutions that quite frankly don't work right now. And so what we're doing is just abstracting that complete process away. You can log in with, say, your social account, log in with Twitter, log in with Gmail, trade, stake, do any transaction completely on chain, completely abstracted on any chain, that is, including starting with Barrachain.
I think for us, it's like, we believe that if you want an ecosystem beyond just a typical layer one, you have to find innovative solutions. So that's how we wanted to bring parallel processing to the Barrachain ecosystem, because there's going to be a bunch of apps, in theory, that require parallel processing and require high throughput that simply cannot exist and function on Barrachain. Barrachain isn't designed for consumer. Barrachain isn't designed for high throughput applications. It's designed to be a DeFi hub. So the question is, how can we scale Barrachain outside of what its initial use case was, which is DeFi, into general purpose chain, which is actually designed for on-chain applications?
Sorry, I'm going to steal your job again for a second. So like, you're building on like MoveVM, right? And like MoveVM have this like unique programming paradigm. How do you think this like kind of unique programming paradigm is going to kind of like influence the kind of applications that are being built on Move?
Yeah, so Move was designed by Facebook TV, the consumer and gaming hub. It was like Facebook literally looked at the EVM ecosystem, was like, this is shit. We want to have an infrastructure that can scale up for billion users. So they built the Move project and like the DM project. And our thesis was, we want to bring it to Web3 in a native way. We brought it to Ethereum through zero knowledge rollup. And then we look at the Barrachain stack. We look at the community is very unraw. It's probably the most hyped and anticipated community in recent history, as well as they have new use cases like Shogun. They're coming to market and kind of showing off the force of Barrachain. And then when we look at outside of DeFi, we're looking, okay, consumer gaming's next cycle for Barrachain and like kind of where they want to scale. And clearly the chain itself can't handle itself. So that's why we look at MoveVM, which is a Rust-based programming language that can handle high throughput, 10,000 plus TPS. In scale, you can actually bring that technology through a roll-up and still leverage Barrachain's community, which is the biggest strength of Barrachain, while having an extra technology to solving both ends of the paradigm.
Yeah. Bearer alignment.
I'm literally bearer aligned. Bearer aligned. I'm so a bearer aligned. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, ooga booga. So, you know, Barrachain versus building on ETH versus building on EigenVA. What were the considerations there? Are these mutually exclusive or are they additive?
Well, we have a framework, so like apps will launch, the MoveVM on top of us, on top of Barrachain. Our main rollup is on Ethereum, so it's separate from our flagship product. So I think there's a world where like, obviously Barrachain, I don't think you can have like alternative DAs under Barrachain, maybe. I don't know if that's pipeline. But the way I see it, Barrachain is like trying to become like Ethereum, where you have like rollups deploying on top of Ethereum, on top of Barrachain. I don't think there's a need for alt DA because it's a Cosmos chain and fees should be relatively low. So there's no need for alt DA. But let's see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think for me, it just comes down to like build where your users are. Like one of the things that we try to do with like a World Engine is like we encourage people to like, you know, fork our chain and like use our SDK for you to deploy your own chain like wherever you want, right? So if your community is in like Barrachain, then we want you to deploy on Barrachain. I don't think you should leave the Barrachain ecosystem to like, let's say, deploy your kind of like roll up in a completely different place where people are not there, right? And so like, yeah, I think that's really kind of like how I think like roll up is really powerful as well, is that you don't have to get them to migrate to a different chain. You can just like come to where your users are and deploy a roll up there instead of like, you know, having to do this migration and all of that.
Yeah, and for us, I mean, you see these sort of gravity centers in these ecosystems. Like Ethereum has been that for the longest time. But look around. I mean, there's hundreds of Ethereum projects that are launching on Barrachain. And so Barrachain's starting to look a lot and lot more like Ethereum, but like, say, like a 3.0 or even like a 4.20 version of it. It's basically Ethereum with fast finality. You have this proof of liquidity aspect of it. You have projects like Infrared building IBGT on it. I mean, there's a lot of wealth of projects on here that are from that sort of core of Ethereum. And I think that you're going to see a lot of carryover with that. Now, Ethereum's always going to have a use case. It's got a lot of network effects, capital, and all of these L2s that build on top of it. So it's not going anywhere. I think there's collaboration between all of those. And you might see a lot of solutions with Shogun on EigenDA and with Ethereum especially. But I think Barrachain, though, moving forward, I think this is the bear era. Like, there's no comparison.
Thanks, guys. So as you know, one of the really cool features of Barrachain we're really excited about is proof of liquidity. You know, securing a protocol with liquidity rather than just, you know, pure governance power whales, you know, buying up stake. Is there any way you plan on integrating your L2s or rollups into that system? Because, you know, as you know, it's really flexible how incentives are directed and whatnot.
I don't think we have plans off the bat. We're like, the application that building on top of us probably won't leverage proof of liquidity in that way. I don't really know how roll-ups would be able to. Maybe have like restaking from native tokens, to level. But I think any roll-up on Barrachain doesn't work with proof of liquidity, as far as I know. Maybe.
Yeah. So I think like for us, like I mean, like we're not directly working on this game, but we are really interested in like potentially like working with someone who is interested in building a games on a Barrachain ecosystem that want to use the proof of liquidity kind of like protocol, right? Some of the cool ideas that we have is like, what if, let's say, you can give power ups or you can give like, you know, a special perk when the game, if you kind of like fulfill a certain, like, you know, let's say you're half like X amount of like dollars or X amount of bearer tokens locked up in like, let's say it is like proof of liquidity, like construction, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there are these kind of really interesting ways that you can gamify an already very gamified system. And I think like, you know, those are particularly experimentations I'm really excited about. And so if any of you guys are interested in experimenting with the proof of liquidity, kind of a construction or mechanism, combining that with like a fun game, build on top of the World Engine, I'm happy to chat and like, you know, provide guidance wherever I can.
Yeah, and for us personally, I mean, with proof of liquidity, there's a lot of use cases that haven't been explored yet, especially within the restaking space. So you asked an interesting question with Egan DA, right? Like with the restaking space, I think that there's an opportunity with a project like Infrared, which is like one of the top projects on Barrachain right now with IBGT, a restaked IBGT, using that to basically secure our solver network, because you always have to have some sort of, say, stake so you can have a social consensus or like a slashing mechanism in an intent-centric protocol. So having like a restaking aspect of that, that would be huge for us. But there's also aspects of like incorporating Egan DA. So there's a lot of different things that we can do with proof of liquidity, and we're exploring all of those.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to tap into those power-ups. And even at a base level, it's possible that, you know, L2 or roll-up fees, which are paid, you know, receive a proportional amount of governance power, conceivably. So yeah, really cool flexibility there in design space. What other, you know, apart from what you guys are building, what other roll-ups do you think might be successful in the Barrachain ecosystem?
I think like order book roll-ups are interesting. I think Aori is looking to do something with this. But I think it's obviously a very early staging system. We need to build out DeFi, get proper liquidity in. There probably isn't much need for like DeFi rollups, because the base layer one itself is going to have low fees. There's a Cosmos chain. So it's not going to have a lot of bottlenecks that Ethereum is going to see. So the question is bootstrap liquidity on Barrachain. And then from there, the question is, okay, probably high throughput application rollups. Any specific like application specific chains that want their own custom environments, I think that's the best use case.
Yeah, so I think like I agree with kind of the DeFi part. I think like a lot of the DeFi action like most likely is going to happen on the Barrachain L1, because like you really kind of like want to basically have that large pool of liquidity from the like POL. So I think like one thing that I think might be interesting, and I think there might be a gap in kind of the Bearer roll-up ecosystem, is like a privacy preserving roll-up, right? Something like Aztec, where you can have these like I don't know, like let's say you want to transfer some tokens to someone in private, or you want to manage your DeFi positions, and you don't want to like basically get the rest of like degens like kind of trying to like copy trade you or anything. I think there's an interesting kind of like gap here for like privacy preserving roll-up on top of Bearer.
For sure.
Yeah. And then for me, I mean, obviously bullish on everything these guys are building. But aside from Shogun and us, I think that the L2 space in Barrachain is just in its infancy. It's really nascent at this point. And I think with any L1, when you're considering sort of like a roll-up as a service solution, it's all about network effects at the end of the day. Community, network effects, that's what's going to grow it. A lot of the sort of infrastructure aspect of DeFi and crypto in general, that's going to get commoditized over time. I mean, UX can be forked. Infrastructure can be forked, but what can't be forked is community. And so with that, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of unique use cases on top of Barrachain, things like perp dexes that are acting as rollups, things like, look at the Cosmos ecosystem. I think I would say 90% of the Cosmos projects are going to move over to Barrachain once they see how efficient this is.
That's bearish. I like hearing that.
Pun intended.
And I think there's, you know, Barrachain slots kind of into a multi-paradigm world, where, you know, depending on the spectrum of, you know, are you going to do more Cosmos app chains? We might get more, you know, app chains specific rollups, or if it's more, you know, Ethereum centric rollup type roadmap, we might get, you know, Bearchain L1 might be more of a general execution layer. So
I think what's interesting that Bearchain can kind of become like a dimension play, where that's really what dimension is. Yes, you have a layer one and then you have rollups on top of it. And the playbook could be you build out that Bearchain L1, you get these rollups, and you might get some successful absent specific rollups. And like the actual dimension playbook's achieved without explicitly doing it.
Yeah, so I think like my kind of like thesis in general when thinking about L1 or L2 ecosystems is like I like to think about them like publishers, right? Like think about like, oh, like you're, let's say you make a, like a rep, like, you know, like, you know, like track or something like that, and you want to kind of get them to the hands of like music listeners and all of that. You need to kind of like have a publisher like that is distributing your music or like whatever it is that you're creating. And I kind of like see L1s and L2s are really kind of these like players that gets you like your application to like your users. And so like either way, if like kind of like you build like a strong ecosystem where you have this like, you know, publishing leverage or you have like, this distribution mode, you'll see kind of people building cool experimentations and like basically kind of people preferring to launch on your chain over, let's say, some like random untitled chain. And so like I think like one of the cool thing here is like, oh, like Bearchain has a unique kind of like distribution mode from like, you know, the community that it created, but also has like a way to kind of like retain this like, you know, community, retain like liquidity within the protocol. And I think that's just like as important to the chain than just like, oh, basically getting initial TVL in, right? Because like we've seen this like kind of like happen from again and again where when the airdrop comes in, a bunch of people joins the community, and then the moment that like kind of like, oh, like, you know, there's no more incentives, everyone just disappears. And I think like, again, this is like why kind of these like mechanism designs like proof of liquidity, I think is like really powerful, just kind of like keeping basically kind of these like, you know, distribution advantage, especially on liquidity, to stay within the ecosystem.
Yeah, thanks. What challenges do you foresee building in the Bearchain ecosystem? How might you overcome that?
Mempool.
Say more.
I think it's like it is a new ecosystem, a new technology stack, very early stage, as with any layer one, layer two is going to struggle with it. So it's yet to see if the tech proves, how the tech handles it. Obviously, with testnet, we saw like kind of go through some issues with the given demand, which is bullish, right? It's like you have the most transactions we're seeing because of the community, but the chain has to be able to handle it. So we'll see how testnet launch goes after the relaunch, and let's see how mainnet goes.
Okay, scaling for sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna speak on behalf of DevBear here, but I feel like Tendermint having the like I think like Cosmos having the mempool as a part of Tendermint instead of the state machine is a mistake.
Yeah.
Like I think this is just like completely blunder in architecture, but like we work with what we have, and I think like there are some efforts to, I think, like, you know, untangle the mempool stuff with like, you know, the state machine, but I don't want to get into the technical details. But yeah, I think there are kind of these like, again, like engineering quirks of Cosmos that I think Bearchain is literally kind of just like leading the charge and kind of like untangling and fixing this. Mm-hmm. And like, I think this will be great for like EVM compatibility in Cosmos in general, because we've seen this happen in the past as well. It's not a Bearchain specific problem. Even like non-EVM chains and Cosmos are dealing with this problem with like mempools. And so it's like really great to see that Bearchain is like kind of making this progress into like fixing kind of the mempool, right? I think like the other challenge, like again, like I would say is like people like confused on whether or not the chain exists.
Well, it exists.
The chain exists.
It's a work.
Yeah, chain exists. Because like some people the chain exists, like, you know, all that. But I think like some of my normies friends are like, oh, but people said the chain doesn't exist. Like, wait, that, yeah, it's like kind of the inside joke when
I don't know how you honorable institutions like we say, yo, I'm building on Bearchain. Like, I think the question is like how you get taken seriously off the bat, but well, I think we're gonna go over that pretty quickly.
Yeah, but the chain does exist. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, that was convincing. That it did not exist. But sorry, Brandon, did you have thoughts?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I know this sounds like a joke, but like winning too much, right? Like winning too much is actually a thing in crypto. When you have too much activity, when you garner too much of the network effects that we're talking about, then you can fill that mempool like he was mentioning. Like I've built in Cosmos for quite a few years now. And one of the biggest issues with the infrastructure is that mempool and with some of the infrastructure that is associated with that. But I know the team personally, and they're working on some really cool infrastructure scaling solutions. And I don't think it's going to be an issue too much, but working on that block space, especially as an L2, is something that's a difficulty for any chain that's going to be launching on Bearchain. But the solutions are out there. They're already exploring them, and I don't think it's going to be an issue too much.
Yeah, well said. That's a great problem to have that, you know, we have a real community.
There's too much
users.
That wants to, you know, deploy on Barrachain right now.
That's right.
It's a great...
anything in that arena.
In Barrachain or like outside of this?
Broadly.
Well, like, we focus on next-gen VMs, so we're focused on solving the issue with single-threaded machines. We're focused on solving forward verification issues. So, like, there's $4 billion lost every year in hacker attacks. So even on DeFi, even like actually on Barrachain, if you actually want users on chain and retail capital on chain, we can't have these hacker attacks happening every week. So something that Barrachain is going to need to work on is fixing the EVM and solving re-entry attacks, solving integer overflows. And we kind of fixed that with MoveVM. So it's kind of interesting to see like, how we can bring that to other systems.
Yeah, and I, for me, like the most exciting thing is again, like really kind of like figuring out like new cool tricks of like that you can do with like on-chain games. We've been doing a lot of experimentation with custom programming languages for user scripting in a game. We've been like doing a lot of experimentations of like doing real-time physics, like fully on-chain and stuff like that. So like yeah, I think again, like continue to be excited to kind of like. See like what cool games that people built. And I think like most especially like really kind of excited to see how people integrate things like proof of liquidity or the various kind of like mechanisms like, you know, that exist in the Barrachain ecosystem as a part of like a larger game such that there are these kind of like circular economy where like people are kind of like basically like kind of like helping the ecosystem grow as a whole by kind of like, you know, integrating and like composing with each other.
Yeah, and I might be a little biased here, but I'm really excited about what Shogun's working on for scaling solvers. And to be real, though, I mean, when you talk about like parallel processing, it's been a huge advancement with like things like Monad, and obviously Movement Labs has it, and like Eclipse and all those great solutions. But when you take that and you apply it to the solver mechanism, one of the issues with solvers right now, scale can involve things, right? Scale can be a factor of expansion, but it also can be a factor of barriers of entry. And right now with the solvers, it's a huge barriers of entry. A huge barrier of entry is like capital. You have to have this competition with market makers who are much well capitalized than you. And so with our solution, scaling that so that it becomes more decentralized, more people can participate as solvers, and it's more of a collaborative effort than a competition. I think that type of scaling is something that hasn't been seen yet. Obviously, also the scaling that Movement Labs is doing is also really cool. I mean, I've been a huge fan ever since I got linked up with Rushi. And so scaling that MoveVM, I mean, there's so many enhancements that MoveVM has over the existing solutions, and I'm really excited for that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the discussion, guys. Really appreciate having you.
It was very fun. Thanks
so thank you, Rushi, Scott, and Brandon. Remember to follow their projects, Movement, Argus, and Shogun. This guy's got this awesome Cocaine Bear shirt.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't a Cocaine Bear until he said it 5 minutes ago, but it is a Cocaine Bear now, so...
And thank you, everyone, for listening. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in. The Next Step features a panel discussing venture capital with Tekken from DAO 5, Rodney from Hack VC, Boris from Tribe Capital, and Amir from Hypersphere. See you on the next one.